Well, let's get at it, brothers and sisters. There's a lot to cover tonight. I'm going to try to get through one verse. No, I'm just teasing. But you never know. But let's open our Bibles up to Jude. And I think we left off there in the fifth verse. And we left off last week with the urgency. And the urgency for us to earnestly contend for the faith. So thankful to God that we know that the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is before us. The encouragement to run. And to know, brothers and sisters, to know that we don't beat the air. We're not flailing around. There's a mark. It's specific. It's exact. And there's no mystery here. God has opened this up. Yea, even the deep things. Isn't that exciting? I just thrill when I think of, again, the privilege of His grace. The privilege of Him bringing this message. I would have loved to have been there and see that sea open up. I would have loved to have been there and see all those prophets of Baal go down. And whoosh, there goes the sacrifice. But I wouldn't trade places for who I am, for where I am, and what He's bringing me into with any of the worthies of faith in the Old Testament. How about you? Amen? And see, that's just boasting in Him. You know that couldn't boast in us. That's our Lord. And that's the exciting thing and how real it is and what He's offering to us, brothers and sisters. And that's how it's not worthy to be compared to the things we're going through, the sufferings, the heartaches, the losses, all of those things. As Paul says, I count it all loss, all of that. But the sufferings for His name, happy are ye. I'm thankful, God. Those are my riches. That's the glory that You're bestowing and building in my life. And it's real. And thank God it is payday someday. And I think it's just about round the corner. So we know that we have this mark that we're after. But why is this call for the urgency now? Well, this wasn't just for them back then. It's to us today. Jesus Christ, praise the Lord, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this message is even more pertinent to us right now because of the coming of the Lord. But we know that we read there in the fourth verse that it was these ones that were creeping in unawares. The Word of God tells us that men, we're in a time now where they don't endure sound doctrine. Even our ministers that grew up in the truth, many of them will say, well, the people don't want doctrine. We're not going to preach that here because we can't get a crowd. We can't get numbers. We can't run the business. Oh my goodness. What we've come to. And that's the lucre, the filthy lucre that it's kind of become. And the Word of God tells us that they heap to themselves preachers. And you think about it. There's a new preacher every week and a new this. I was thinking how, they'd open up these clubs and these clubs don't last very long and they'd move around. I used to be in the real estate and the commercial side and I'd always wonder, well, why doesn't that work? Well, that's the fad of the day. And this is the new fad of the day. And this is the, well, that's how these preachers are. This is how these ones are. Because they'll itch your ears for that long today. And then there's something else tomorrow. And the sad thing is it's robbing the people of God. These are God's children. And I was visiting with a young man today. And I said, as we heard over and over in this meeting, why in the world would we eat out of a garbage can when God has prepared for us the King's buffet? And that's the truth. And it's just His Word. Doesn't matter who's serving it up. God's choice, wonderful, anointing. We have to have it by His grace. But it's always His Word. It's always His Word. And His Word does not return void, as we know. So, in faithful is He that calleth you and calleth me, Jude now is inspired of the Holy Spirit to put them in remembrance. And I was thinking, you know, when we come together, I pray we're just putting ourselves in remembrance. We're growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I'm thankful we know the truth. And I appreciate how Brother Hill said it so specifically to me at one time. He said, son, all the truth that the Word of God has laid out has been preached from this pulpit. Now let the Holy Spirit just expand on it and anoint it. Make it just that much more real, vibrant, bright. But the truth is there. It's finished. It's out there. Okay? And he said, just go with it and write it until Jesus come. And I'm just so thankful that we come to put this in remembrance. And this brother was putting something very important in remembrance to these. And let's go ahead and pick it up in verse 5. And he says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Now, this is very sobering here, and he's basically saying, I'm going to remind you. I'm going to place it into your remembrance. Now, why does it have to be placed into their remembrance? Is because they've forgotten it. Because the insinuation here is, you once knew this, but I've got to remind you again, because it seems as if you've let these things slip. And brothers and sisters, God help us that we don't let these things slip. We talked a little bit about that Sunday. And that's to neglect, to throw out, to not think that it's important. Maybe my ideas and my views are more important than that. And God help us that it would be. Or, you know, it's coming into some type of enlightenment. We hear that word all the time, and God forbid, we just stay with the truth. But you see, the call is to give even the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. But I want us to notice as we go forward here that as Jesus says, it's His grace that saves. It's His grace. It's not our goodness. It's not even of my want or anything. He's got to draw us to come to Him. He's got to draw us to come after Him. We have to understand that that's just a gift. And that is so precious here as we go into this, is it's the Lord that saves us. See, if it's left up to us, brothers and sisters, we're dead. We are. We're done. But the Lord saves. He restores. He makes new. He cleanses. He builds up. And that's the precious remembrance of the Lord in our lives. But what's so precious about this remembrance is how He saved those people so miraculously, or His people, I should say, out of the hands of Egypt. You think they were enslaved for over 400 years. And there was the showdown with Pharaoh. And he said, let my people go. Isn't that wonderful? Let my people go. And I'm so grateful to God. He keeps calling me to that. He's just, come on, son, let's go. And as we know, Pharaoh was stiff-necked here, but that really didn't matter because God always saves, and He did. And He miraculously saved them. But even after He miraculously saved them and He parted that sea, and He continues to lead them, and time again, He continues to save them, whether it was the water from the rock, whether it was the manna from heaven, whether it was the clothes that never wore out, they still remained a people of unbelief. And God help us. How many times does He deliver and continue to deliver and to continue to give us peace and joy and rest? But we want to go back into unbelief and play with it. Now, I know I'm just speaking to me tonight. God help me to be an overcomer. And that's what it is, brothers and sisters, is getting that awakening, that quickening, that He is faithful. That He does love me, that He is able, that He has given me that life and that power and the very power of His might. And that cycle can be broken. And the only way it's ever going to be broken, though, I'm going to tell you something, is you've got to be tender. You have to receive the conviction. When you're hardened to something, when you think that you have gotten over it and it's evident in your life that you haven't, God help you to break before Him. Don't just put it aside. Don't just cast it back and think that this never happened, or I don't have to deal with this, or I'm just going to go on here. No. David tried to do that, didn't he? And for at least a year of his life, he was quite a miserable man. And then you finally find out that before thee and thee only have I sinned. Isn't that wonderful? I have a niece that's finding that out right now. My wife and I are just rejoicing. I think she's coming into that. Finally, after all these years of heartache, the same cycle. Before thee and thee only have I sinned. And I'm just going to sup with you, Lord, and understand that you have taken care of this. And I am so sorry. I'm sorry. It's broken my heart, but most importantly, it's broken your heart. I didn't receive that to come out of that. And this is what this is getting at here, is that these... I'll tell you, these rascals, these children in the wilderness, I'm going to tell you something. They were just hard, weren't they? And after miracle, after miracle, after miracle, they were still asking God, what can you do for me today? You haven't done anything for me. You're going to be unfaithful this time. I'm going to be out here and rot. Is that how we live? God help us if we do. But to trust in Him. But you see, faith, as we know, is always a victory. But unbelief is always destructive. Unbelief, brothers and sisters, is disobedience to God. It doesn't matter the circumstance, the situation, the feeling. There is no excuse. Unbelief is an insult to the faithfulness of God. As we said earlier, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I think we're without excuse, aren't we? He could have just given us that one verse. How many more times does he say it, explain it, and give us wonderful examples in the Word of God of our brothers and sisters that have gone before us, that faithful is he that calleth you. He called you. You have purpose. Believe it or not, you have great purpose. You have the greatest purpose there could ever be. You have Christ in me is the hope of glory going on. And to have that fulfilled and grow up into me and to grow up into Him in all things, my goodness. You talk about a calling. And you know what? That calling is so great, I know I could never attain to it. I know I could never get that done in my life. And that's what the grace of God is there for. This is God we're dealing with. And He's perfect. He's exact. He knows. As I was able to sit in that barber chair and tell that lady, and that was a sweet thing. She was talking about all of her scars and all of these things. And I said, just thinking, all of that remorse and all of those scars and all of that trouble and all of these things put us here today to glory in the balm of Gilead. And she said, hallelujah. I knew she was messing with the other two or three that were cutting hair. And I could tell they didn't like her much. But you pray for her. But see, that's what it's about. It's about that faithful is He. But these ones were not going to yield. They were not going to allow God to work. And so in unbelief, all those that were over 20 years of age, they were destroyed. They were left in the wilderness except for Joshua and Caleb. And again, you think about how for 40 years they marched around it. And I know that some of the brothers and sisters here that have really studied this out, I don't know, I think if you had a good arm, they marched around it so close that, you know, if you had a baseball, you could have thrown it right over into the promised land that they never went into. See how close it was? But see, close doesn't get it. See, you can march around the Word of God all your life for years, but only by believing can you ever stand on the promises of God. You can quote it, you can say it, you can spew it, but until you believe it and stand on it, it'll never work effectually in your life. It just won't. And now we're talking about every bit, aren't we? Because remember Sunday, we don't just put Sunday back where Sunday was. It keeps coming through all the fullness of God. Growing up into Him in all things. So see, now it's not just this piece that I want to put there and this piece that I want to keep back. See, He's not a God like that. He wants every bit of you. Just like a relationship. And I try to, when I counsel some of these kids getting married. And I remember even my dad, Brother Hill, getting married to my wife. You're one. You're one. No more secrets. Really. Now, I know I'm stepping on toes here. But you're one. You operate as one. You move as one. And see, God's joined you. See, that's not just something that you try to do. He gives you that. And go with it. The Word will tell you a lot of different things. But that's even more so how it is with Christ. He comes in to live. And we move and we breathe with Him. But I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, it's time to break. It's time to yield. It's time to repent from any stubbornness that we have, that we truly can live the life that we are called to live, which is by faith. And let's go over here to verse 6. And it says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. See, it was their own. They had that. He hath reserved an everlasting change under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. You know, sometimes I read about that and it does make me sad. you don't like to see anything break apart from what the Lord had so perfectly that way, but it was a perfect work in what was going on there. Don't think that there was any disorder in that. God knew exactly. He knew exactly which angels would stay and which ones would leave. That was absolutely before ordained of the Lord. He knew exactly what was going on. But I think of all of that, in a sense, disruption that had to happen for me to become a child of the King. Isn't that amazing how much He loved you? Let me tell you something. There was a lot of planning. There's a lot of love in that. But see, these were the angels that went with Lucifer when that all broke loose. In 2 Peter 2:4, it tells us that these angels here that we're talking about, were cast down to hell. And that's the abyss, or the lowest part of hell. It's called Tartarus in the Greek. And it's the same as the bottomless pit that's mentioned in Revelation 20, where Christ Jesus will bind and send Lucifer for those 1,000 years. But I do want you to note this, that in Revelation 12:7, so we don't get confused here at all, it speaks of a war in heaven that's going to happen someday soon, where Michael and his angels are going to be battling the devil and his angels. So obviously not all of the fallen angels were bound at that time. There was a certain amount that were allowed, again, of God. This, let me tell you something. By Him all things consist and hold together. Nothing was made without Him at all. He knows what's going on. He's prepared that wicked one for the day of evil. Know that He's done that. He's got it exactly like He wants it. See, oftentimes we just think that, oh, it's all out of control. No, it's not. No, it's not. Know it. Know who loves you. But these are those same fallen angels that are working with Satan today. But see, we don't need to fret because judgment day is coming. And it is. Let me say it. God's not going to be mocked. And the great day, we're going to talk about the Lord's day here just for a moment. It's that day that begins the very moment of the first trump. It's a long day. Remember, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. So that day of the Lord, praise God, it begins at the very first moment of that first trump, wrapped up at the end of the millennium, when Satan and all his fallen angels will end up there in the eternal lake of fire. So He's got it under control. I don't worry about those things. God has us. Now going on, man's continuing in sin's not going to escape either, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And let's go ahead and read verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So, see, God has given us all these types. He's given us all these signs. Again, man is without excuse. It's there. But man in his wickedness is going to try to change it and turn it and try to turn the truth into a lie, all of those different things. But you can't get away from it. And I'm so grateful to God that Jesus Christ is so evident in everything and His Word is so perfect. But the Lord loves His creation, brothers and sisters. He does. He loves it. And He is protective about the fearfully and wonderfully made body. And He takes great hurt when man abuses his body, and especially as we see here in the sin of fornication and in the sin of homosexuality. And I'd like you to turn with me tonight. We're going to do some reading over in Leviticus. And we're going to go to Leviticus chapter 18. Lest these things slip. Huh? I don't want to become dull. Oh no. Because I'm telling you one thing, that sword's never dull. I might get dull, but that sword sure not. All right? And may we wield the sword well. So in Leviticus chapter 18, let's pick it up from verse 5. And we're going to read for a while, so let's hang in there and listen to this. You may have not read this section for a while, but it's pretty exciting. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments. This is God speaking. Which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Here we go. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. There's a very general statement there that really covered it all. But God in His mercy and His grace is going to get specific here. And He's going to tell us this going on. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, or of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, nor theirs is thine own, for theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister. So, see, we're seeing it's our sister, our sister-in-laws, our brother-in-laws, our aunts, our uncles, moms, stepmoms, cousins, all of these different things. We're coming down, okay? And it doesn't matter what state you live in the United States. It's all applicable, okay? Sorry, I got to back away from that. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister. We're back in 13. For she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. And these things are just natural, aren't they? We would have to be sick to imagine this. Amen? Something would have to be wrong. All right. But for the grace of God, there go I. I don't want to stop that. But I'm just saying, even in nature. Huh? Now stay with me on this. All right. 16. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness. For they are her near kinswomen. It is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness, besides the other in her time, in her lifetime. Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanliness. Moreover, shalt thou not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. It's a big thing about fornication, isn't there? Taking a lot of time here and all throughout the Word of God. Remember the Corinthians study, how they were trying to justify all of these different things. And God is showing that, you know, this body is something special to Him. This is His temple. He dwells here. And I believe even in this is so much how much He loves you. And He loves His creation. And we need to know this. Getting back in verse 20. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down with thereto. It is confusion. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And He did. And He did. They were wicked at that time of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were wicked in the time of Noah. And the land is defiled, therefore. I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. And the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs, which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves. Therein I am the Lord your God. Now, that's something, isn't it? It's very specific. Took great time. And we see here that it's very clear that all of these things are an abomination. But I ask you, and I believe it is still deemed unnatural and unacceptable to lie down with your mom or your sister. And I don't mean to be so graphic, but it is it not? Well, then why would we be removing it's okay for mankind to lie down with mankind? Okay. Now, we know the Word of God. And we know that I don't care how many times and how many ways the Lord tells us, but He continues to tell us that promiscuity and homosexuality is wrong. It just is. Now, the world's coming at us in a big way. I do want to make note here that sin is sin to God. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Do we know that? I pray we do. And God is not ranking these things. But God does love His creation. And He also tells us that it is vile and bluntly disobedience to even nature when we sin of fornication and homosexuality. And brothers and sisters, the reason that I think it's mentioned many times, even in the New Testament, is because we live in a day and an age where it is rampant. It's rampant. Not only is it acceptable these days to really society and to Hollywood and all of those things, but it's now being even enforced by our government. And it is. And even to my heart that hurts even more is it's being endorsed by religious organizations who once accepted much of the Word of God. Because it's convenient. God help us not to be a convenient people. And it doesn't mean that you're hateful. I hope you know that. It actually means that you actually love. You love the Lord and you love people. Now the sin, obviously, the sin, we hate any of that. We don't want that in our lives. God sent His Son to die for that sin. But God help us that we don't condone these things. God help us that we don't get, again, so dull and insensitive to the Word of God that these things just start passing over us. That we say, well, this is okay and that's okay. To where finally it becomes good God, good devil, good everybody. Ye were neither hot nor cold, and I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And this is a difficult subject for many people, brothers and sisters. But God knows, and He knows where man is headed. And it's very obvious where man is headed. And I think we're very privileged to live in a country that shows us where man is headed. And I'm grateful to that. People say, well, aren't you sad about the wickedness of man? I said, well, sure. The Word of God, though, told me the evil's going to wax worse and worse. And it is waxing worse and worse. But at the same time, I know that that means He's just getting closer and closer to coming. Amen. Well, don't you worry about your children. I shouldn't, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And I tell you, I still rejoice in my brother Joseph. There was no place he was going to grow up to the mighty man of God except for in the middle of Egypt. Isn't that wonderful? Not one to fellowship with. Not one to see as a testimony. All that wickedness that was going on. Deceit, underhandedness. The promiscuity, fornication, all of that just running rampant. And that brother was convicted in his heart. At least for me in this house. He couldn't say for all that. But for this house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Praise God. And that's a choice we can make, brothers and sisters. It is by the grace of God. And He can help us. And we can know that. But see, these ones have been given over to this abominable doctrine. And I do want to point out again, and there's many places in the Word of God, in Leviticus 18:22. It says it very clearly. And I've had to come up against this with a few people recently. And I love them. And let me tell you something. We see souls. But thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. And you'll notice that even though he considers all of it abomination, he emphasizes that again. And I think it's becoming a rampant weakness within our society and things that we need to understand and not be deceived, and to please be aware and to pray for people, that God help and help us, and to love even more, that we're not defiled by these things. Sodom and Gomorrah, we know, brothers and sisters, were taken out because of the debauchery of fornication and homosexuality. I'd like us just to turn to Romans chapter 1, lest we forget, and we'll read verses 25 through 32. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and see, to go that way and to yield to anything that is apart from God, you see that you're not going to want to retain God in that knowledge. You see what I'm saying? Whether it's that or anything in your life, you'll try to justify whatever it may be. But you're going to have to consciously decide, I'm not going to retain the knowledge of God in that case. I'm going to pick and choose out of the Word of God what I want to live by and live my life that way. Well, your life is not going to sit right. And let me tell you something. God will deal with you. And He will deal with you. And I'm so thankful He will. And I'm talking His children. He wants every bit. And I'm thankful at a young age, my mom said, you know, son, just get it over with and give it over to God. You might as well get the joy of the Lord early, instead of living through all of this heartache for a while. So, but he says here in verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. You see, they list it all right there, don't they? Sin is sin. Disobedience is disobedience. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. But I go back to verse 18 and I say, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. All right? So what's that saying? It's God's not going to be mocked. It's just not going to happen. And, I'm thankful that my God is the righteous God. And He's the righteous judge. But at the same time, brothers and sisters, I think that we're missing something when we don't have compassion and sorrow. When we see whether it's the world, sinners in the world, Christians in the world, or Christians in our meeting that are caught up into things that need to break from their lives. Ye that are spiritual, restore. Restore. And ye that are spiritual, give out the word of God. And stand and withstand, and having done all, stand. And the Lord will guide you. He really will. You'll know when to speak. He'll put you in a chair and for an hour and have a lady cut your hair when He wants you to speak. And that's kind of going to how it's going to be. But I think, as Jude's speaking to these folks, I think they were kind of getting maybe beaten down a little bit. You know, maybe they were in a place, in a city where it was just so rampant and, you know, things got so bad. And the government and the nation got in such debt that they're going to change everything and do all this and do all these things. Now you better pray, because that's what you're called to do. But there's things that are coming. And it's not out of a this party or a that party or that party. It's spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay? And it's just coming. All right? You got the whole armor of God? I remember somebody saying to me not too long ago, "Oh, I wish I had your armor, brother." I said, "You got the same armor I do. If I put it on, you're going to put the same one on. It's the same shield of faith, same helmet of salvation." Isn't that wonderful? There's never a difference when you put it on, because it's His armor. And it's always right. Okay. Still with me? All right. So there's always a price to pay for unbelief and rebellion, for the sinner as for a Christian. The pain, the confusion, the restlessness when we dwell in unbelief. See, someday it's just going to be face to face. My faith's going to be made whole. That's going to be completely gone. Isn't that going to be wonderful? Oh, Lord, take me home. The benefit of seeing Jesus. I don't ever have to not doubt ever, ever, ever again. Not for one moment. Praise the Lord. So what a time it's going to be. But may we choose the victory and the peace that passes understanding, brothers and sisters. Okay, let's move on to verse 8. "Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities." Now, these filthy dreamers, kind of mentioned it a little earlier. I think the first thing that comes to my heart, mind, and spirit here is man's claims of enlightenment. How many times do we hear that? Vain in their own imaginations. Maybe even claiming that they were divinely inspired. It's exactly what the devil does, is he starts to turn the truth into a lie. And one thing about vain imaginations, brothers and sisters, or puffed up humanity, it always defiles the flesh, because it goes against God, and God being the only dominion and dignity. And you know what happens when we always go against God, don't you? You lose. You lose. You lose out. And but I'm thankful, as the Word of God tells me, I can't do anything against that truth. It's the all-powerful sword, and on the cross, the truth won the victory over sin and death. Wonderful? The victory has been won. It is finished. Now, I did want to take just a moment about these dominions and dignities. Brother Copley, I think, pointed out something extremely important about this. And for the saints of this day, in Hebrews 13:7, it says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, for they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Now, I hope you understand as we start to talk about this just for a moment. I'm not saying this for my sake. I'm saying this for yours and my sake. I'm not saying this for my benefit because I'm a dad, or because I've been a boss, or because now the Lord has called me to be a pastor. I'm saying this because it's the Word of God. Now, parents have rule over their children, and teachers have rule over their pupils, and masters or bosses have, in a sense, a rule over their servants or their workers, and elders and pastors have authority over the flock. Now, as Christians, we understand that it's all as unto the Lord. It's not in any power trip. It's not in anything of that nature. It's always as unto the Lord. But when children or students or pupils or servants or workers or parishioners rise up in opposition to what the Lord has established, brothers and sisters, and they may think that they're rising up against the person, you're not. You're rising up against God. And you're rising up against Christ, the headship. And I encourage you, don't do it. Don't do it. You won't win. And you'll lose. And you'll lose time, and precious time. And it's time to be tendered. And it's time to take that grace that's right there and apply it and allow yourself to submit to what God has set up. And that's where we need to be. I've met so many people that want to fight all the time. I want to fight a good fight of faith. But I think we get tired fighting a lot of different things. Well, I'm going to go fight for this cause, and I'm going to go fight for that cause. And I'm not going to let them do this to me. Jesus Christ fights your battles. And He does. And He fights them a lot better than you could ever fight them. There is great strength in your weakness. And there is. And I just want to be strong in the Lord. I'm finding that more and more. I do. I stand in awe to watch the mighty hand of God. I was given testimony to the faithfulness of God in so many things in the meeting. How the Lord, over these years, has put different things on my heart. Very rarely has He ever called me to physically do something. Very rarely. Just pray, son. And I've seen it. Just He takes care of it. And He does. And it's so sweetly, it's so mighty, so amazing. But that's your God. And that's what He does. He's the God of miracles. But it's not really a miracle to Him because nothing's hard for God. We call it a miracle, but nothing's hard for Him. It's just another day. Because He loves us so. So just know that strength and that power that we have. But brothers and sisters, going in our own determination, going in our own strength, is always detrimental to spiritual growth. And I'll be very blunt. It's pride. That's all it is. I don't care if it's male or female. When you go in your own strength, when you go in your own determination, it's pride. And what happens there is we start to promote ourselves over His Word. I know this. I've been there. And by the grace of God, He may allow me to go there again to teach me another lesson. But it's when we start to promote our own desires and our own will over God's. Now, that's crazy. We're talking God again. And when I start to claim that my knowledge is superior or what I feel is more superior than God's Word or God's will, I'm in a bad way. We are in the most critical moment in history because Jesus Christ is coming. And He could come today. And I read very clearly in His Word that the fully grown saints stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And that's His will. Okay? That doesn't mean that I'm, or you, are perfect. But I'm perfect in submission and submitting to His will in my life. The overcomer has to have something to overcome. I always appreciated, Brother Ty brought that out one time and it just really hit me. Overcomer's got to have something to overcome. Oloda! You know, and it's true. How quickly is the overcomer? How quickly we overcome? How quickly we take the conviction that's there? Do I just ignore it? Do I just play with it? Do I not respond to it? Or does that conviction come so quickly that kneeling camel is immediate? And it says, God, help me. Help me. The life I now live, I live by faith. Praise God. And now I'm starting to understand that it's faith that worketh by love. See, I can believe in Jesus Christ like I've never believed in Him before. Because I'm seeing more and more by grace how much He loves me. That's it. I realize it. That's the thing that, I don't know, this life is starting to grasp is how much He loves me. And He loves me so that I believe Him. And I'm believing by His grace every last word of what He said. That's exciting. And that's when we know that power's coming in. And power's coming in to dwell. Because that power is in that wonderful faith. So brothers and sisters, as we end this thought here, it's not my will, but Thy will be done. Amen? Amen. I think that's very, very, very important. I appreciate Brother Copley bringing that out. I pray that that's meant something to you as well. Let's go ahead and read verses 9 and 10 and we'll close up with that. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. He disputes about a lot of things. Anything about the Word of God, he's going to dispute about, isn't he? durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. See, God wasn't going to criticize the animal. No, he wasn't. He didn't say as beasts. As brute beasts. And you start looking up that. That's insane. That's like they're rabid. That's where you got to be when you start going against the truth like this. Huh? A brute beast. Now, this was Satan here in the ninth verse. As defiant as ever, because he was arguing with Michael about Moses' body, that it wasn't resurrected. He was trying to ensnare God's mighty angel into nonsense. Did you hear that? He was trying to ensnare him into nonsense. The devil tries to ensnare you into nonsense when he has you fighting and disputing things about the Word of God. Abstain or avoid foolish questions, brothers and sisters. Just stop it. That's just the enemy trying to put that in. He's trying to have that conversation with me. Knock it off. Just stop it. It's over. I'm not going to go that way. The devil is always trying to pick a fight. He will never try to pick peace with you. He wants a good fight. He wants chaos. He wants confusion. He wants things that are unsettled. He's the author of that. But see, I got a God who's the author of peace and rest. And joy, long-suffering, temperance, gentleness. All these wonderful things that, praise be to God, I love to be around. And I believe by the grace of God, I'm around it tonight. We're here to have that word come in and work effectually. But see, what was going on here is, I praise the Lord that Michael, he just insisted that Moses was raised. God said it and it was so. The conversation is over. There's nothing more to say. It's God's word. It's yea and amen. That was it. And I'm so thankful to that. It didn't go on and on. It wasn't trying to argue it. It was done. And I'm so grateful to God that he said, the Lord rebuke you. It's back in the Lord's hands. And that's where we need to leave it lie as well, brothers and sisters. Again, too much emphasis is put upon Satan. Too much emphasis, I believe, in pulpits and time is wasted in talking about or talking to Satan. I don't want to waste my time. How about you? I don't want to waste my time. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. All right? Come on. And that's where we need to be, brothers and sisters. And I hope we understand this. We cannot rebuke the devil. We cannot do that. That's for the Lord. And it was wonderful. The Lord gave him that rebuke, even though he'll never accept it. We'll talk about a rebuke he's going to take here in a minute. But they're on the Mount Transfiguration. There was old Moses, wasn't there? Okay? Lord took care of that, didn't he? And he's going to take care of him in a final rebuke when he casts him into the lake of fire. All right? So for us, brothers and sisters, the Word of God tells us we resist the devil. All right? We just resist him. And how do we do that? By the grace of God, receiving faith. Okay? Because we heard earlier, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So I know the opposite of sin is faith. I'm going to believe the Lord. I'm going to believe the Lord. By the grace of God, I'm going to believe the Lord. And that just takes care of that old devil. And I'm so grateful that we know that if he be for us, who could be against us? Who? You the apple of his eye? Amen. Do all things work together for good to them that love God? Yes, they do. Did he say he would perfect that which concerns you? Man, live those verses. By faith, live those verses. And that's when every day that you live is a precious day. That's when every day that you live is a wonderful day. That's when every day that you live is a joyous day. And it really doesn't matter what's going on. When I really know that I've got a God that tells me, I will perfect that which concerns you. That you're my beloved. That he tells me to rise up and to come away. And I hear him say that pretty much every day. I know he's saying that every day. But I'm starting to hearken to it. I'm starting to heed the more earnestly the things which I'm not heard, but I'm hearing. Praise God. But those in verse 10, brothers and sisters, that want to follow that evil spirit, God's going to deal with them too. We know it. God's not going to be mocked. Don't get bent out of shape about that. Don't get so caught up in, oh, judgment's coming. I'd rather have the spirit that says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. God, if it any way you could reach them, reach them. I know how wicked I am apart from you. And as wicked as anybody that's ever been on this earth. As wicked as anybody that's ever been on this earth. He saves me from myself every single day. And that's when you start getting a little bit of compassion for folks. You don't know what they went through. You don't know how they grew up. You don't know how many people maybe disappointed them. Now I know they're without excuse, don't get me wrong. But you've never walked in my shoes and I've never walked in yours. That is true. But I know there's a God that loves you. Because I know there's a God that showed himself and how much he loves me. And it just clicked. The light went on. The doors of my heart flew open. And he's come to dwell. And he's come to dwell. And as we take this line upon line upon line upon line, it just gets greater every day. It just does. There's just something about it that's different than anything else there's ever been. Any book I've ever read, any inspirational speaker I've ever heard. I had this lady going to quote me Gandhi the other day, and I said, oh, please don't. Please don't. But you know, you never know what some Lord could do with somebody that was so wicked and so bent on going a certain way if he ever got a hold of their lives. Do you ever pray for people that you know that might be famous, that have been so wicked, openly, just abusive to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but he put a tenderness upon your heart to pray for them? See, that's only the Lord, isn't it? And you know what? Don't stop. Yeah, I'm not getting mushy with you. Don't stop. Jesus didn't stop at the cross, did he? Huh? What do you think? Well, you know, he was just a little too wicked. Maybe I'm not going to get up there. I'm so glad he didn't do that, aren't you? All right. Well, it's in his hands, isn't it? He's the righteous judge. It's not time for us to judge any of that. One day he said that, son, if you'll suffer with me, you'll rule and reign with me. I can't imagine. I said, oh, Lord, I'm insufficient for that too. He says, oh, I know you are, but Christ in you, son. Christ in you. Can you imagine? So we'll be exalted in due time. Just ride that joy wave. We're almost at the shore. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.